Prostate cancer is common and highly treatable when diagnosed early, and today we're going to discuss prostate cancer, signs, symptoms, diagnosis, and treatment options with urologist Dr. Emily Kelly and radiation oncologist Dr. Jamin Jhaveri, both of whom are with Health First. This is Putting Your Health First, the podcast from Health First. I'm Scott Webb. So it's really nice to have you both here today. We're going to talk about the prostate, diagnosis, signs, symptoms, treatment options, all of that. Just want to welcome you both to the podcast.
Thank you for having us, Scott.
Scott, excited to be here. Let's talk about prostate cancer today.
Yeah, let's do that. There's probably never a bad time, so it's good to have you both here. Good to have your expertise, and we're going to kind of break things up a little bit. Talk to Dr. Kelly first about diagnosis, signs, symptoms, and then Dr. Jhaveri will come to you about treatment options. So let's start there, Dr. Kelly. What is the prostate exactly, and why is a healthy prostate so important?
The prostate is one of the main organs of the male's urological system, and not only aids in sexual function, urination, but it also produces vital enzymes which help to mature the sperm and allow for proper ejaculation and fertility. The prostate is very important to overall urination, fertility, and is vital in a male's quality of life. It is roughly about the size of a walnut. However, it can fluctuate based on the individual male. Also, as one ages, it increases roughly about 1.4% annually. Thus, younger male will have a smaller gland. And as that gentleman ages, it will increase in size, which can affect both urination and ejaculatory function.
Yeah, doctor, and I'm definitely in that age when a male might begin to notice that the prostate is enlarged a little bit, you know, and all that implies when I have 3 cups of coffee during the day so I can do these podcasts. What are some of the most common symptoms or early warning signs of prostate cancer?
So unfortunately, prostate cancer's early signs are very silent. That is why early screening with blood test and physical exam are extremely important. Most males will come to me saying, I think I'm worried about prostate cancer because it's affecting their urination, where that's more the size of the prostate. It's not until very late in prostate cancer that it actually affects urination and produces symptoms. Rarely do we see blood in the ejaculate or in the urine caused by prostate cancer. However, this could occur. So if you ever see blood in the ejaculate or the urine, it's definitely important to let your provider know so additional testing can be performed. However, most prostate cancer is diagnosed on screening tests alone and not based on symptoms.
I see what you mean. Yeah, it's one of those dreaded things in medicine where it just isn't obvious until, unfortunately, it is obvious. So I'm assuming then screening is important, as you were saying there. So at what age should we consider prostate cancer screenings, and what does that usually involve? Is that just a blood test? How does that work?
Yeah, so there's actually been a huge shift over the years of when we should start prostate cancer screening. And if you look at different medical groups, each one's going to say a different recommendation. But based on the American Urological Association's most current recommendation, which was produced in 2023, we start by assessing the patient's risk for prostate cancer around the age of 40. If a patient has high risk findings such as multiple relatives or a single first degree relative having prostate cancer or of the African American race, that would place them at the high risk category, and we would recommend screening starting at age 40. Based on the first baseline PSA, we then determine an interval surveillance or screening protocol from there. However, if there's no family history of prostate cancer, they're not at an elevated risk because of race, then we start somewhere between the age of 45 and 50, and that's done predominantly with a blood test. Okay. Based on the blood test, we then determine the screening protocol. Most of the PSAs in this age group are going to return less than 1.0. And if that's the case, then we resume on a biannual basis at age 50. If the PSA returns greater than 1.0, but less than 2.5, Then we continue on an annual to biannual basis, meaning every 1 to 2 years. And if the PSA is greater than 2.5, then we discuss additional testing or biopsy. It's super important to note, though, that sometimes a PSA is not always accurate and can be affected by different things, such as retention of urine, infection, prostatitis, being an avid cyclist, spinner, Peloton participant. Those things can put a lot of pressure on the prostate and increase the PSA. So if the initial PSA comes back elevated, oftentimes the provider will look, take a history, make sure we're not missing an infection or some urinary retention symptoms, recheck the PSA. About 30% of PSAs will actually normalize back down to an appropriate baseline. However, if it remains elevated, then that will prompt additional testing.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of the risk factors that we can't escape, of course, genetics, family history, that kind of thing. But wondering if there's also a behavior, lifestyle choices that maybe increase the likelihood of developing prostate cancer?
So we always recommend a healthy diet, staying away from tobacco use. That can definitely be a risk factor. I get a lot of patients who ask me, are there any supplements that I can take, any male health products that I could take that can decrease my risk of prostate cancer? And there really hasn't been anything clinically significant that you can take over the counter that can decrease your risk. So really just making sure that we have a healthy lifestyle. The most common risk factors can be family history and genetics. So making sure that you talk to your family members, talk to your father, uncles, grandfathers, getting an accurate family history. So that way we can appropriately assess the risk and when we should be performing screening.
Yeah, it would be great. I wish we lived in that world. I know there are some things that there's just like a magic pill you can take and then, you know, you don't get a thing or it helps you not get the thing, but not the case with prostate cancer, at least not yet. I just want to finish up this first part here you with Dr. Kelly. Let's talk about staging for prostate cancer, how that's determined and why it's important when it comes to treatment.
A lot of times staging at first is a clinical stage based on the pathology from an actual biopsy. I more of a time talk to my patients in risk, meaning are we low risk, intermediate, or high risk when we get the pathology back? That's based on a variety of different factors. So on a path report that your provider would talk to you, they would tell you what your Gleason score would be. A Gleason score is based on two numbers added together and is on a scale from 6 to 10. So breaking it down, just very simplicity, 6 would be low risk, 7 would be intermediate risk, 8, 9s, and 10s would be high risk or very high risk. Other things do factor into play, meaning the PSA, what was your PSA at baseline? Was it less than 10, greater than 10? If you had imaging performed, an MRI before the biopsy, any additional staging, is it confined to the prostate? These are all things that can affect the risk stratification. And then based on the risk, we then talk about different treatment options. I will say that it's actually gained a lot of popularity in the news recently, where there's been a lot of news articles saying that we're over-diagnosing prostate cancer. Most prostate cancers don't need treatment. You hear about it all the time. Patients bring me copies of articles that they find in male health magazines. And that's the low-risk prostate cancer. That's what we're finding early. And then we're saying, let's keep an eye on it and monitor very frequently to make sure that this doesn't progress rapidly. Right. And that would be more of your Gleason 6 disease versus intermediate and high risk that we more likely offer upfront treatment options and hopefully of curative intent. And I know we're going to talk more about radiation specifically in a few minutes, but most of those would entail some sort of radiation, possible hormone management or surgery.
Right. Yeah, and that leads perfectly into our section here, if you will, with Dr. Javeri. I want to bring you in now, doctor, and talk about diagnosis, right? So once prostate cancer is diagnosed, what are the primary treatment options?
The primary treatment options for prostate cancer, there's two different ones. It's very simple. One is surgery, where a urologic surgeon like Dr. Kelly or other surgeon will take you to the operating room and remove the prostate gland itself. That's one form of curative treatment option. The other is radiation treatment, which is a painless x-ray treatment usually given in the office as an outpatient. Sometimes it can be just be 5 treatments or it can be daily for up to 9 weeks for prostate cancer radiation. So those are the two main treatment options, surgery or radiation therapy.
All right. So surgery or radiation therapy, and obviously you're a radiation oncologist, so a good person to have on to talk about this. So let's talk about radiation therapy a little bit. What is it exactly? When is it recommended? That kind of thing.
Radiation therapy is recommended for all different types of prostate cancer, low risk, intermediate risk, high risk, all varieties of prostate cancer, even cancer that's spread to some of the lymph nodes. We even offer treatment or curative intent treatment. Radiation is a simple thing. It's an x-ray, kind of like you get an x-ray at your dentist office or sure. an x-ray for a broken bone, except this time these x-rays are, the energies are cranked up 1,000-fold higher, and they're pinpointed to the prostate gland with extreme precision. And every day, a small radiation dose is given, and that slowly over time kills the prostate cancer cells.
Yeah, I just want to get a sense of how radiation therapy has advanced in the last few years, and ultimately, you know, how have the improvements, how are they benefiting patients?
Yeah, we were able to, over the last decade or two, we've been able to advance technology in a form that allows us to deliver radiation very precisely. So for instance, with our radiation treatment machines here, our precision is within 3 to 5 millimeters. So we can pinpoint high energy x-rays up to 5 millimeters in precision.
Sure.
And by doing that, that affords us the ability to increase the radiation dose to the cancer itself while minimizing radiation dose to the adjacent organs. That reduces side effect and increases cure. So improving the overall outcome of a patient.
Yeah, I can kind of, even a layperson like myself, I can get a sense of, you know, you obviously want to really narrow the field and really target the prostate, you know, and not the things around the prostate, of course. Are there some side effects of radiation therapy, and how do you recommend that patients manage them?
There are side effects of radiation therapy, and they can be usually visualized instead of memorizing them. The prostate gland anatomically sits deep in the pelvis, and it's near two main organs. One is the bladder, which it sits it right in front of the prostate gland, and the other is the rectum, which sits right behind it. So when we give radiation to the prostate gland, we maximize radiation dose to the prostate, but some of the radiation does inadvertently get delivered to the bladder and the rectum.
Sure.
And as a consequence, patients can have side effects during treatment. The most common side effect is urinary frequency. So that means during the day, peeing more often, and at night, waking up in the middle of the night to pee more often. And that's a common side effect. The other also is urinary urgency, which is the sensation that you got to go to the bathroom all the time. That's another common side effect that pertains to the radiation that's given to the bladder area. And finally, there can be some loose stools or diarrhea that can happen during radiation treatment. As far as how to manage them, usually we see our patients every week during the radiation treatment course, okay. individually, face-to-face, to talk about the side effects they're having, and we give them medicines to help calm those side effects down. Majority of patients, I'd say 99% of our patients, are able to complete the radiation treatment course successfully with minimal to no side effects.
Yeah, that's always encouraging. You know, side effects, unfortunately, are a part of life, part of medicine, but good to know that you can help patients manage them and that they make it through, most of them pretty successfully. Just finish up with you here, doctor. Just a typical prognosis for patients who undergo radiation therapy. You know, I don't know, you know, if you start weighing the options of treatment options, but limiting it to just radiation therapy, how's that usually go?
I know patients are often scared when they get diagnosed with cancer. And they want to know, will I live? Will I get to see my granddaughter graduate from high school? Or important events like that. But the most important thing that dictates prognosis is the stage of prostate cancer. For example, someone who has low-risk prostate cancer with radiation, the cure rate measured at 5 years is anywhere between 95 to 99%. As opposed to someone on the other side of the spectrum, where a patient who has high risk or very high risk prostate cancer, with radiation, the 5-year control rate could be 70%. But that's just in general the gist of the statistics. But it obviously varies individually with each patient.
Yeah, exactly right. That's just kind of the broad picture. It's a patient sort of specific kind of thing, working with their doctors and specialists, all of that. It's been really educational, good stuff today. Just want to give you both a chance, you know, kind of final thoughts and takeaways. Dr. Kelly, I'll start with you.
Thank you. So I think we talked a lot about prostate health, prostate cancer, possible treatment options. So I think the big take-home message is make sure that we're being screened. Make sure that we're being screened at least biannually, and also being accurate with our risk factors, especially because a lot of primary care providers may not start prostate cancer discussions and screening until age 55, where if you know you have a really strong family history of prostate cancer in your father, brother, uncle, grandfather, then that really needs to be started and initiated at age 40. So we could be missing a really vital window. So I think it's really important to get the message out to say, make sure that this is being done, that it's being done appropriately, and not to be scared by it. Because even if we are diagnosed with prostate cancer early and we're able to intervene early, then the survival rate is very high.
Right.
So I think the big take-home message is make sure that we're having appropriate screening.
Yeah, that's perfect. All right, Dr. Jhaveri, last word to you.
My take-home message for the listeners is try not to be scared. I know cancer is a scary thing to be diagnosed with, but go meet with your urologic surgeon and radiation oncologist to talk about treatments. Our technology has advanced tremendously, both surgically and from the radiation standpoint. We're able to cure these cancers with very little to no side effects.
Yeah.
So try not to be scared and go meet with your oncologist.
Yeah, great words of advice from experts here today. You know, as you both say, you know, it is scary, of course, but with all of the advancements, and especially stressing, Dr. Kelly, the importance of screenings, early diagnosis, early treatment, Dr. Jhaveri, get a sense of how we think about survival rates, how important all of those things will be to all of us surviving prostate cancer. So I just want to say thank you for your time, expertise, all that good stuff. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And if you're experiencing any concerning symptoms, please consult your urologist or primary care provider. To learn more about prostate cancer, visit hf.org. And if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to tell a friend, share on social media, and check out our entire podcast library. We look forward to you joining us again.